Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Berean Baptist Church. We're glad for your presence this morning and for those who are joining us on the live stream. I want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 25. They go along with our first song this morning, Lead On, O King Eternal. The psalmist is saying this, lift up your heads. I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. It's Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Of course, he's talking there about, I believe, the coming millennial kingdom, when he indeed will be reigning in glory for that 1,000 years and then on into eternity. And we're looking forward to being there with him at that time. Just a prayer request, Pat Owens, that would be Joshua Owens' mother, discovered that she had a deer tick. And so we're praying that it's not carrying the Lyme's disease with it or whatever it is that they carry. So we'll pray for her in the opening prayer this morning. Steve, come and lead us in our first song.
Hymn number 589, if you need the book. Let's stand together and sing three verses of Lead On, O King Eternal.
For our scripture reading this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2. We are going to read from verse 9 through the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 9, follow as I read. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they pleased not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. May the Lord honor the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our great God, we know that we are your creatures, your creation. We know that we don't deserve what we have of you. Everything that we receive that's good is from you. Yet we desire to return our praise to you. We desire to obey you and please you. We ask that this morning you would move our sinful hearts, that you would make us fit vessels for your use, that we would glorify you with what we do, what we say, the words we sing, that we would hear the preaching of your word with humbleness and receptiveness, that we might obey what we hear from you. Lord, we ask in particular for Mrs. Owen, who's had this deer tick. We ask, Lord, that you would prevent her from catching any of the diseases carried by the tick. I know that can be pretty serious at times. Protect her and keep her healthy. We ask that you would protect us and protect Pastor Flink and leadership in this church. You would guide us from in the way we should go and protect us from the attacks of Satan. We ask that your word would go forth from us this morning and that we would glorify you not only with our lips, but with our hearts as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Things crumble about us, but God's word stands forever. The Bible stands. Hymn number 292, if you need the book.
Thank you.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life, 295. Enjoy your singing. Our memory verse is next, Hebrews 4:16. We'll cite the reference, the verse, and then the reference together, all right? Hebrews 4:16. Let's therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we have made and have grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Listen as the choir sings the song, Wash Me Now.
Thank you.
We need that in our lives. Lord, wash me now. We still have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins. But we need washing every so often as well, part of it. And hope that can be a blessing to you as you heard it sung. And take advantage of it. Lord, wash me. Make me pure again. And Lord, I confess my sin. Hymn number 313. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. We're marching to Zion. Just one page to hymn number 311, More About Jesus, What I Know. We're going to dismiss the children to their time of junior church on that third verse, and those are ages 3 through 8. Would you stand with me as we sing, please?
More of his saving for the sea. More.
Thank you. You may be seated. Before Pastor comes with the morning message, Miss Felicia Harmon to sing for us at this time.
Jesus, shepherd of my soul, keep me close, I love you so. Lead me where the waters go, in your rich green pasture. Be my guide, I'm in your care. Keep my feet from every snare. I will follow anywhere you call me to go. Wish for more. I will seek your kingdom first. I will trust all that you do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice in you. Shepherd of eternity, all my future you can see. Show me what is best for me. I trust in your goodness. In the valley I'll not fear. Through the storm your voice I hear. Your strong arm is always near. I rest in your love. I will thank you, Lord. In your will I'm content. I'll not wish for more. I will seek your kingdom first. I will trust all that you do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice.
Thank you, Felicia. This is her last Sunday with us for a while. She'll be heading down to Uruguay on Wednesday on a music missions trip. And so we'll be praying for you as you head out with your group. Are you flying out of Chicago?
Milwaukee.
Okay. So we'll be praying for you as you head out. And you'll be back when?
Late July.
Okay. Well, have a good trip and a great time of ministry and time with family down there as well. Look forward to that. We'll be praying for you. Also, be in prayer for Brother Jeff Straub. He'll be traveling back from Alaska. Is that on Monday? Wednesday. So let's be in prayer for him as well. And I had one other thing here to remind you about. Oh, yes, it's the picnic coming up on June 2nd. There's a sign-up sheet out on the bulletin board for items to bring for the picnic. We're celebrating the 56th year of ministry that Berean Baptist Church has had here in the northwest suburb of Brooklyn Park. And so we'll look forward to a great time of celebration at that time. Also want to mention, with praise, to those who were here yesterday working and getting started with the siding project. Many of you who came in from the south side were able to see the progress that was being made on replacing the old siding. And so that's an ongoing project that will continue here in the weeks to come, and hopefully we'll get it all finished up in good order. But we want to thank all those men who were here yesterday helping out with that project. All right, we're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul here has really commended these believers concerning their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope, especially as he mentions there in verse 3 of chapter 1. And we can see that Paul's relationship with these believers is a very special one. In fact, he states it there in the verse 17, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Paul had a great desire to be back and to see these believers face to face. And we see at the end of the chapter why that is. He said, for you are our glory and joy. He looked forward to being with them again. And by the way, that ought to be the desire of every believer, that we desire to see one another, to rejoice in their presence together as we worship the Lord together, as we serve Him together, as we pray together, as we serve Him in ministry areas together, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ together. That ought to be our desire as well, to come together in this fashion. So we see here the tangibility of Paul's crown. And I'm going to really go forward fastly here, as we're still in, there we go. We see the relationship that Paul had with these believers. It's explained here in this chapter. We see the totality of his commitment in verses 1 and 2. We see also the transparency of his conduct in verses 3 through 12. And we'll go together one more time here. The triumph of his converts, verses 13 through 14. Tragedy of Paul's countrymen. We looked at that last time, last Sunday night, verses 15 through 16. And then we have here again a stimulating truth, the tangibility of Paul's crown in verses 17 through 20. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. Let's pray together and then we'll begin. Father, we rejoice in the opportunity we have to gather here this morning. We don't take it for granted that freedom could be taken away from us. And I'm thankful, Father, that we're able to continue to do so and have that freedom of worship. We thank you, Father, for the ministry of your word. May it be powerful in our lives today as it teaches us what we need to know and how we need to live. It teaches us how to love you better and to love others as well. And we thank you, Father, for Paul's desire to share truth with these believers at Thessalonica and in turn sharing that truth with us here at Berean on this May 19th of 2024. Your word is as relevant today as it was back when Paul penned these words, and we're so grateful for it. I pray again for Felicia, as she'll be heading out on Wednesday for the group that she'll be with as they head down to South America, to Uruguay. Pray, Father, for safety for them and just great blessing in ministry opportunities that you will provide for them there. Pray also for Brother Jeff as he'll be flying back from Alaska on Wednesday. Thank you for the opportunity he's had to minister the word to that church there in Alaska. And we continue to pray for Pat Owens, Father, for this deer tick that has been found. We just pray, Father, that you'd keep her from being ill as a result. We leave her in your capable hands, and we'll thank you for what you will accomplish through all of these as we give them to you with great joy and with great confidence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul had an earnest desire that he expresses here in verses 17 and 18. And I want you to notice the great hope that Paul fostered in verse 17. He said, "But we, brethren, taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." Paul had a great hope here that he was going to see these believers again. And I wanted you to see the contrast, Paul's love that he, Silas, and Timothy had for these Thessalonian believers with the strong hostility that the Jews had for these Thessalonians. They brought about persecution upon them. What a great contrast we see here. And Paul had this great hope that he fostered with them. They were all familiar with the circumstances that forced Paul to leave them in such a hurry. If you're not familiar with it, turn with me back to Acts chapter 17. And I want to read verses 1 through 10. As Luke records what Paul faced there in Thessalonica. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason has received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." And of course, that next verse is our theme verse here at Berean. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And hence the name Berean Baptist Church. A lot of people ask me, well, where does that name come from? Well, I tell them, turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 10, and you'll see. But Paul had a great hope here. The arrest of Jason and his release on bail all added up to the same thing. Paul would have to leave, along with Silas. And regardless of whether Jason had given security to this end, the result was the same. As long as Paul the apostle was around, these Jews, the unbelieving Jews, would stir up trouble. And they even followed him. If you continue to read there in Acts chapter 17, they even followed him to Berea, as they were determined, we want to get rid of this pestilent fellow one way or the other. Paul had a strong love for these believers, in contrast to the unbelieving Jews who had a hatred for the truth. Paul never stopped trying to come back. "We endeavored," he said here, "the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." He fostered this great hope to see them. Apparently, Paul was able to return about 5 years later on his third missionary journey. But we only have Luke's barest note concerning that return, and he writes about it in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. Notice also, not only did he foster this great hope, but there was a great hindrance that he faced in verse 18. "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." On his second missionary journey, Paul
by the Holy Spirit had hindered him from staying in Asia Minor and flung open the door of opportunity there in Europe. Now Satan hindered him. And Paul knew the difference between the restraining ministry of the Spirit of God and the restricting opposition from Satan. He recognized the personal activity of Satan behind the rioting that had driven him out of Thessalonica. You see, Paul had no trouble believing in Satan as a personal, malicious, and active enemy. His name, Satan, means adversary. Paul understood his enemy. God has allowed Satan to oppose the work of God in a variety of ways. He did so in the temptation of Christ, in opposing the gospel and the spread of the gospel, performing counterfeit miracles, deceiving believers, perpetuating lies and murders, attacking individual churches, attacking spiritual leaders. This is all the work of Satan that God is allowing to take place. Hindered. That word hindered is a military term, and it speaks of digging a trench or breaking up a road to disrupt the advance of an opposing army. And that's what Satan was doing concerning Paul. Satan is called by about a dozen different names. He is called the devil, the accuser, the slanderer. He's called Beelzebub, that is the Lord of the Dunghill, not a very pleasant term. He's called the great dragon, the old serpent. He's called the tempter, the evil one, the enemy. He's called the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world. He is called Belial, the worthless one. And as great and as powerful and as terrible as Satan is, he is still only a created being. Once he was the anointed cherub there in heaven, known as Lucifer, son of the morning, and he had his place there in heaven, in charge of the worship of God, and pride was his downfall. And he is not to be trifled with. He is still no match. Thank God for this. He is still no match for the Spirit of God. Greater is he that is in you, the Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. Talking about Satan. Now, we're not told exactly how Satan hindered Paul here. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to know something. I want you to know how greatly I miss you. I'm longing for you to see you again. And now he returns to his favorite theme in his letter, and that is the coming of Jesus Christ. And it's seen as a stimulating truth. It raises thoughts on the believer's mind concerning the judgment seat of Christ. And surely it should stimulate all believers to holy living and a godly zeal. So we find here Paul's great desire. We also see his eternal delight in verses 19 and 20. And there was a reward that he expected. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? And he sums up the answer to that in one word. Ye, or you. You are. You believers at Thessalonica. You are our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing. And Paul was looking forward to the victor's crown, the crown that was given to the winner in the games. But there was no greater joy, no greater anticipation for Paul than to see these converts stepping forward at the judgment seat of Christ to receive their rewards. And apart from anything else, that was going to crown his efforts as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Oh, how he was going to rejoice. As proud parents, no doubt those who have gone through a graduation ceremony recently with their children, as proud parents exult in the achievements of their children, so Paul, a proud father, was already anticipating with joy seeing these converts receiving their rewards. And it will be at the judgment seat of Christ where believers will have their works rewarded or rejected based on whether or not they are wood, hay, stubble, in other words, done in the flesh for self-glory, or they're going to be gold, silver, and precious stones. done in the Spirit for the glory of God. I think that the judgment seat of Christ ought to be feared. And knowing that it's coming soon for the believer ought to motivate each and every one of us to faithful service for the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. So Paul here is emphasizing
reward.
He's confident that those rewards are going to come to him. And what's he going to do with them? I think that he's going to cast these crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ in praise and worship for all that Jesus Christ has done for him. He had earned at least one crown, the crown of rejoicing and exaltation, which was the triumph of his dear Thessalonians. They assured him of that fact. Now he underlines the return expected in verse 20. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That word coming or parousia is used in connection with the Lord. And it refers to a specific period of time. Peter used it to describe the brief moment when the Lord was transfigured and he and his friends were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When this word is used in a prophetic sense, it covers a very specific period of time. It refers to a future period that will begin with the rapture of the church, which, by the way, could take place at any moment. The arrival of the Lord in the air, and that will end with his return, with his unveiling of himself in power and glory to the world at the end of the tribulation period. And during that interim period, the parousia of the Lord in the air, the rapid development on earth of the mystery of iniquity, we shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul anticipates that event with a great deal of eagerness, thanks to the victorious lives of these believers in Thessalonica. You are our joy, our glory, and crown of rejoicing. So he expected rejoicing. You are our glory and joy. What people glory and rejoice in, I think, reveals their character and their spiritual condition. Solomon lost the kingdom. He lost an empire and a crown because it appears that he wanted the tinsel of earth's glory. He loved wealth and women and this world and allowed those things to cloud his judgment and affect his decisions. And for all of his outward show and flamboyance, Solomon was no match for his father David, even taking into consideration David's sins. David, listen carefully, David used things and loved people. It seems that Solomon loved things and used people. And what a great difference there is there in that perspective. Paul loved people. He lived for people. He spent his saved life. I didn't want to say spending his whole life, because some of that life was spent on hating people and persecuting believers especially. But he spent his saved life leading people to Jesus Christ, building them up in the faith. And his glory and his joy was to see people saved and established in the things of God. That's why he was there in Thessalonica, preaching to them there in the synagogue 3 Sabbath days and perhaps a little bit longer as well. His ambition was to see them again and to see them at last as crowns and trophies to be put at the feet of Jesus Christ. So Paul here is encouraging these Thessalonians with the truth that he loved them. He desired to see them again. And the views that he had of heaven, in which they would be central to his eternal joy. Now, the epitome of his joy in heaven would be seeing Jesus Christ. But he would also be rejoicing in seeing these believers as well. They were his glory, which is the true honor bestowed upon him by God, who used him to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the child of God, who desired to please God with his or her life, that is a stimulating truth indeed. Paul is going to go on to establish another truth in the third chapter, and we'll look at that tonight, all right? We'll look at that this evening, a stabilizing truth that he wanted to give to these believers at Thessalonica, because in some ways they were lacking some information, and he wanted to stabilize them their uncertainty, especially concerning what's going to happen to my saved loved ones who have died before the Lord comes. And he's going to talk about that especially at length in chapter 4. So we have here Paul's desire to see these believers. And it may not happen, and it did happen actually later on, but he was looking forward to seeing them in heaven, rejoicing in the Lord's presence, first of all, but also rejoicing in their presence as well, being believers that he had led to the Lord, who established in the faith. And you know, as we gather together as a church, as a local body of believers, it is a great blessing and a wonderful privilege that we have to do so, to gather together, to rejoice in one another's life, their testimony, and how we can see them grow in Christ on a daily basis. Because one day we're going to be perfect in heaven. We're not perfect down here, right? Nobody is. But we're going to be perfect up there in heaven. And we'll be able to rejoice together, praising our wonderful Savior for all that he's done for us there on the cross. Let's pray together as we close our service this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for your great blessing to us, the blessing of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to look into your word and to see again how Paul is encouraging these believers in Thessalonica, and he's encouraging us as believers here at Berean Baptist to recognize that Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready. And Lord, I pray for any who might be listening to the message this morning who have never put their faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. May they do so today. I pray, Lord, that they would see their desperate need for a Savior who could save them from their sins and give them a home in heaven. And apart from trusting Christ, they will never have that certainty. They will never have that assurance. By their own good works, they will fall far short. But by trusting in Christ, they can have that assurance of their sins forgiven and a home in heaven. They'll be able to say with the Apostle John, as he writes further on in his epistle there, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." Lord, these are things that we can know, and we're grateful for them. Help us to live in such a way as to please you with our life. And whatever that next spiritual step might be in our lives, help us, Lord, and lead us to take that step, increase our faith in order that we would do that, trusting you, Father, to bring your great blessing upon us for it. And we'll thank you for all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Steve will come and lead us in our closing hymn.
Let's stand and sing, if you would, to 300. If you need the book, take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name. Joy of heaven, at the
Father, as we walk our journey through life here on this earth, Lord, help us to be reminded that we need to share the gospel with those we come in contact with. And Lord, that let them know how they can have that precious gift of salvation. Lord, how they can receive you into their life and, Lord, find comfort from sin. And Lord, to ask forgiveness and then find that comfort from sin. Lord, I pray that as we live our life this week, that who we come in contact with, Lord, that we can share that. And as we walk that life, Lord, might it be pointing our lives even to walk more worthy of what you'd want us to be. And the calling that you've set us out to do is to share the gospel and to make disciples. Thank you, Lord, for the message this morning and the truths of it. Help us to take them and apply them. Be with us as we go our ways and keep us safe and well in all that we do and say. We pray in thy name. Amen.